Hey everyone, this is Nick. Thanks for joining us for the Circuit Riders Podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions community here in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. This podcast is from Monday Nights, our local community gathering. If you want to be a part of it and you live in the Southern California area, you are invited. Or if you don't live here but you want to join us online at crmovement.com/gatherings. Hope you enjoy the message.
And this person who's going to bring the word tonight is very special to my heart. I call her my adult friend. It's my sister. And she's amazing. She's one of our worship leaders. If you don't follow her on TikTok, she's an icon on TikTok. You need to follow her on TikTok and Instagram. She has new music coming out. She's an amazing artist. And she's also an incredible preacher. So can we give like a crazy standing ovation worship welcome to Chloe Mack?
Here. This is going to be so fun. Guys, tonight is honestly going to change your life, not because I'm preaching, but what we're going to do tonight is going to change your life. But I had the craziest day. It started this morning. I needed car insurance, okay? And so, literally, Geico failed me. I get on the computer. I'm like, quotes for insurance. I fill my information out on this website. And instantaneously, I press enter. I get a phone call. I'm like, hello? Hi, my name's Shelly with car insurance. Guys, I have 121 voicemails from insurance companies. They're still calling me. And it led me to my message tonight. I'm just kidding. No, it didn't. But I'm up here preaching because Derek, he's a mighty preacher. It's why I married him. The only reason, I guess. We have this ongoing tension between us because I get home from leading worship and he gets home from preaching and I'm like, man, I'm tired. And he's like, no, I'm tired. I'm like, no, worship leading is much harder than preaching. You don't understand. And that's the only reason they're letting me preach is to settle the score tonight. That worship leading is more work. Okay. But my name's Chloe Mack. I'm married to Derek. I am part of the Brent family. My dad and mom started Circuit Riders, and I just was as a little baby here. There's not much to know about me, but I want to tell you this. I was born with a resistance towards my identity. I was born with this resistance towards every part of me, the way I looked, my personality, the call of God on my life. It made me squirm. Me and my dad had this ongoing joke kind of about this resistance, and he would tell me the stories about when I was younger, he would give me these bear hugs, and he would hug me and go, I love you, Chloe. You're so pretty. You're the best. This is who you are. And I would just squirm in his arms. And he would bear hug me tighter until I finally accepted and agreed with him. Yes, I'm pretty. I love you too. I'm amazing. And then he'd release me. See, my dad, my resistance was so real. My dad wouldn't let me live by lies. My dad went to battle over my identity and over me grasping it and agreeing with it. Can I tell you some stories? Okay. My dad, I really struggled with the way I looked in middle school, which, you know, I don't know. Look at the pics. I'm in the kitchen. I'm, you know, moping around about how I look. And my dad gets a piece of paper, gets a Sharpie pen out, and he writes, I am not ugly. I am beautiful. And he hands it to me, and he goes, march around the house and repeat it out loud. Yell it out. And I would march around the house with my little sign, I am not ugly. I am beautiful. I am not ugly. Literally, it's like that SpongeBob episode. You guys know, I am ugly and I am proud, except reversed. My dad, he knew I was called to lead worship. Man, he convinced me. And he'd have me write songs and got me the piano lessons and all the stuff. And I'm in the kitchen. I hated my voice. I didn't believe my dad. We had arguments about it. And we're doing the dishes, and he goes, stand up on the kitchen counter and sing this song. So I'm like, you don't argue with dad in my house. I stood up on the counter. I'm starting to sing this song, and I'm just giggling and laughing. He goes, sing it till you don't giggle. Sing it till you mean every word. And I got off that counter convinced. I am the next worship leader right now at age 11. Like, it's going down. When I was 17, this one still, I cringe, but it's so good. I was 17 years old, and my dad always told me, Chloe, you're going to preach. You're a communicator. And that was the hardest one for me. I was like, Nick's got it. Like, we've got one. It's enough. And so my dad, he gets a speaking engagement in Germany at a ministry business school with businessmen. Okay? It's 4 days in a row. He calls me, and he goes, Chloe, I'm not going to Germany. You are. I'm 17, never spoke in my life. And he goes, God is raising up hundreds of Heidi Baker in your generation, and you're one of them, and you need to go, and you need to preach, and I bought the ticket, you're doing it. Guys, I flew to Germany. When I landed and they picked me up, they thought I was in my 30s. They had no idea. They were mortified when I showed up. And I spoke for 4 days straight with no speaking experience, just the Freedom Manual. It was crazy. My dad didn't give a rip about if the school was going to go well or not. He was more concerned that I understood my calling and that I agreed to it. And I'll be honest, I'm going to be transparent with you guys. My dad, he's with Jesus now, and we're smiling about it. We're okay. But that voice is gone in my life, and I've realized there's some squirming still happening in here over my identity. There's some major resistance over who God said I am. And I'm saying this because I know for a fact in this room, there's some of you like me, and we are resistant over who God says we are. We want it to be proved to us. We want a little confirmation. And I want to ask you the question tonight, who are you? What is your purpose? Is it as small as you think it may be? Is it? No. Your purpose is as great as the Lord has said through the scriptures and to you. And tonight, we are both going to cross the line in our life, and we are going to agree with the identity Jesus has spoken over us. Amen? So Jesus, I just thank you for your design over every one of us. And God, I don't want to just speak words. I don't want to just do my deal. I want you to show who everyone is. Mark our hearts in the name of Jesus. I want to show you in scripture, God is not silent over this area of our identity. There are so many encounters with individuals over their wrestle and their identity. How about Moses? You guys read Moses, seen Prince of Egypt. How many have seen Prince of Egypt? How many read the story, Moses? All right. Moses is seeing God in the burning bush, right? And he's having a conversation, and God's telling him, you're going to free the Israelites. I mean, wow, dude, no shoes on. And Moses comes back. It happened. Moses comes back. Can you imagine? This is you. Who am I? Who am I, Lord, that you would choose me? I'm not eloquent enough. And then he's so bold to go, oh, Lord, send someone else. Hello? What the heck? Gideon, he was a man of fear. Israel is in this place of turmoil. And it says in the story that Gideon was hiding in a wine press threshing wheat. If that doesn't make sense to you, he's just in the wrong place and he's hiding, okay? And an angel shows up, an angel of the Lord, and goes, mighty man, you are a man of valor. And Gideon goes, ho hum, God confirmed this to me 3 times. I don't know about it. Esther, she's chosen out of hundreds of women, put in a place of royalty. Mordecai, her uncle, comes to her and goes, hey, the Jews, they're going to be extinguished. God has put you in this place to be a mighty deliverer. Esther goes, what if I die? I am going to die. And Mordecai goes, fine, God will raise up someone else. But let me tell you this, you were born for such a time as this. How many of you were born for this moment with a purpose? Listen, God doesn't just go over these wrestles. He actually has so many encounters in Scripture where he shows his great delight over announcing who people are. Like, he enjoyed it. Can I share a few? All right. Jeremiah. And Jeremiah 1, we know this verse. Ready? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Before Jeremiah was born, God had a dream on his heart of who Jeremiah was. John the Baptist, I love this. The Lord is speaking to Elizabeth, his mom. You will bear a son, and you are to give him his name, John. The name's picked out. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people in Israel will be brought back to the Lord their God. That is detailed. God's like, and here's the drinks he's not going to drink. And his name's John, and this is what he's going to do. One more, Paul in Galatians, Paul goes out of the way to let everybody know he's a boss. And he's like, before I was born, God called me to preach to the Gentiles to see salvation. He had nothing shy about who God called him to be. And oftentimes, we're hearing this and we're like, that's wonderful. I'm back in Sunday school. And I go, yeah, the characters in the Bible, of course, have these spectacular identities and purposes. Or maybe, you know, the people on the stage, they have all these amazing qualities and huge lives. And then there's us. Normal people with mediocre callings, and we just got to make life work for us. No. Can I go in here? Can I go in here? Seriously, sometimes I sit with people and I'm like, do you know who you are? And it's like they think God just chose them to be normal. Listen, in Psalms 139, 13 through 14. All right, we're going to break through some cliche here. I formed you, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Every individual literally knitted together in your mother's womb. Don't think about it too hard, but that's crazy. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God prepared beforehand your life, my life prepared before I got here. Come on, guys, seriously, we have to bind this thinking that these verses are just on those like 2016 wooden things in our grandma's bathroom or at Cracker Barrel. Like these verses. No, literally, dude, am I telling the truth? It was 2016, I had one. Listen, these verses speak of God's intentionality. They're in the word to say, listen, sister, you're not normal. There's no one common. No one. Everyone uncommon. That word, workmanship, in the Greek, it means like a one-of-a-kind piece of art. That's so cheesy, but honestly, is it? Like no one on the earth before and after you will be you. So let's live. Okay. Listen, every believer was made for exploits. I really want to hit this. Daniel 11, 32 says, but the people who knew their God shall stand firm and do exploits. They will take action. Oftentimes, like I'm saying, we look and we go, dang, Billy Graham, what a life. And God's like, dang, Susie Jones, what a life. You were made for exploits. It doesn't say some were made for exploits. It says anyone that knows God will do exploits. What is your exploit? Have you already done exploits and you've diminished them? Have you? Are you waiting? What are your exploits? Now, the enemy has a fight to pick with your identity. And the way he likes to fight is he likes to hit you with the exact opposite than who you were created to be. When I was real young, I was a toddler, and my parents said that I had depression as a toddler. That's intense drama right there. I guess I cried at Disneyland. I mean, that was probably it. They knew. And I had this depression, and my mom was just getting hit with a prophetic gifting for the first time. And my dad goes, let's ask God about Chloe. What's up with that depression? And they asked the Lord, God, what's up with the depression? They saw it so clearly. They bound it up. They rebuked it. Testimony goes, next morning, 6 a.m., I came running into her room, jumping on the bed, super pumped. I was called to joy. My dad called me Joy Girl. Like, it was my identity, and the enemy hid it. Some of you are called to be evangelists, and every time you open your mouth, you can't stop thinking about how stupid you are, how you have nothing to say, how someone can say it better than you. Some of you have claimed the identity that you're shy, but you're an evangelist. Some of you are comfortable in your fear, and you're like, I just have fear. And God's like, I've created you actually to be the most bold one. One of my favorite missionaries, her name's Gladys Elwood. Anyone know her? Yeah? Okay, two, three. Dude, go read her book. It's called I'm a Little Woman or something. She was a missionary in the early 1900s, and she had a burning heart for China. She lived in the UK, and she was a maid of all things. And she's burning for China, and she goes boldly to the missions organizations, send me to China. And she does all their tests. You know what they say to her at the end? You know, Gladys, you're just too stupid. You'll never learn Chinese. You're not intelligent enough. Go back to being a maid. So Gladys puts her uniform on. She goes back to being a maid. And there's this iconic moment. She's making a bed with another employee. And her buddy looks at her and goes, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be in China. So Gladys takes out like the 3 pounds in her pocket. She buys the world's longest train at the time from the UK all the way to China. And she gets on that train only knowing one missionary who she saw in a brochure. There's no emailing happening. And she walks up to her house. She makes it to China. Walks up to her house. I'm here to be a missionary. Gladys was not messing around. Listen, she instantly got favor. This is so interesting because of her feet. And in China, do you guys remember learning in school how they would bind the women's feet? Well, it's very crippling to have these bound feet. And so a government official saw Gladys's feet and said, how are you so healthy? How are you able to do so much? And she said, well, I don't bind my feet. So they go, hey, can you go house to house and unbind the women's feet? And she goes, I'll go if you let me preach the gospel. And they said, preach whatever you want. So Gladys starts her ministry going house to house, unbinding feet and preaching the gospel. Right? And she's in this one town. She was so wild. And she overhears these people talking about the prison in the town. And it was the second worst gnarly prison in all of China. And this is what she says. Can I read something? Yeah. Don't check out. Lean in, okay? This is what she says. But for the next few days, I had no peace. God told me very definitely that whether I liked it or not, those men in the prison were my business. Every one of them had a soul for which Christ died, and I have come to China to proclaim the gospel wherever God led me. So she marches up to the prison, and she goes, I'm here to preach the gospel. And the officials laugh, and they go, no one's ever been converted here, and you can do whatever the heck you want, little lady. So she goes in. And says this, I was so small that a kind of little mound had to be built for me to stand on. I talked to them, I told stories, and they trotted off. Day after day, I stood on that little mound, my heart hammering wildly, but with the knowledge of the terrible, desperate need of these men driving me on. She's preaching one day, and these three men are dragged in, and they are going absolutely ballistic. And everybody starts chatting because these guys were like the most known murderers in the area. And so Gladys just keeps going for it. She's preaching the gospel. Now there's this one man, one of the three. His name was Mr. Shen, and he was the number one murder guy. He stands up, and he spits on Gladys. He starts cussing at her, sexual innuendos. And this is what Gladys says. My first thought was, get out of here as fast as you can. I hurried towards the gate when a voice said, Gladys Elwood, I died for these just as I died for you. I turned back to the guard. I said, will you let me speak to these men privately? She gets these three men, and she gives them a talking to about the gospel. They just continue spitting, cussing. Nothing changes. So she goes that night. This is where you're just like, who is this woman? She goes that night to a nearby, this is not fantasy, it's real. She goes to a nearby leper's colony that was seeing revival because that's where she was preaching the gospel previously. So she goes to this leper's colony and she holds intercession for the prison to see Jesus. She goes back the next day, and she's standing there, and all the men are in line in formation to go outside. This is what happens. Are you ready? Way down the line, I saw the man I disliked so much, Mr. Shen, the man who seemed harder to move than prison walls themselves. Very clearly, a voice said, speak to that man. Oh, no, I replied. He despises me. He spat at me. Besides, the law of the prison states I cannot speak to him while the line is moving. A voice said, nevertheless, you must speak. What was I to do? A cold sweat broke over me. He was almost up to me, and I was so agitated. I leaned forward and let my hand fall on his shoulder while I burst out, oh, Mr. Shen, aren't you miserable? Of all the stupid remarks, I thought. What Gladys finds out the next day is, first of all, it was illegal for a woman to touch a man in a public place. And if you just heard me, she reached out and grabbed him and spoke to him. So she left with this shame going, I'm so stupid. Mr. Shen goes outside. He sits on the stump and he starts weeping. He goes, she touched me. Doesn't she know what I've done? Doesn't she know who I am? What love possesses her that she would touch me? It must be a love from God. Mr. Shen gives his life to the Lord in the prison, was actually like almost 100% converted. Now, I know, give it up for Gladys. I tell you this story because Gladys had a choice. When the missions organization, these super cool people with probably the microphone stage of the time, said, you're stupid, you're not smart enough, she could have chose to say, all right, I'll be a maid forever, forget what's burning on my heart, forget what God spoke to me. But she didn't sit underneath the lie of the enemy. You guys know Mother Teresa? Mother Teresa actually, she wasn't so big and amazing when she came into the work she did. She tells her authorities, I want to go to the poor. And you know what they said to her? You're only good for lighting candles. That's how smart you are. You could never do anything in leadership. Gideon, who we talked about, right? Gideon believed that his clan was the weakest and his family was the least in all of the clan. But God called him a mighty warrior. Many of you, listen, you can identify where things are off in your identity, right? It's easy. You go, that anxiety, that whatever fear, that rage monster, I don't know what it is. And we go to our journals and we do a nice little journal entry. God, I hate my self-hatred. I hate my anger. Or you lay on your pillow and you do that little prayer. God, I repent for my self-hatred. Next morning, you're like, I hate myself. Anybody? All right, keep it private. It's fine. I'm giggling a little bit. Okay, anyway, we do these prayers, we do these journal entries, and we just hope that our identity is just going to plop on us one day and everything's just going to come true. And the way we get free of these lies, of these strongholds, is we have to radically walk in the opposite spirit. We have to radically claim our identity. My dad had this dream of this young girl. And she goes into this orphanage, and there's all these kids, and she's absolutely occupied. She's having the time of her life, pouring her life out to these kids. And this question pops above her head and says, what does she not have time for in the orphanage? And what does she not have time for? Her self-hatred. She is not going to care about her pant size. If she's good enough to do what she's doing. If she's qualified. if everything's going to turn out in life. Why? Because when we give our lives away, when we obey who God's asked us to be, everything else fades away. Those strongholds, they begin to lose their grip. There's three lies. We're going to do some fun stuff tonight. I don't even think we've mentioned it yet. I forgot. All right. You don't even know why tonight's different yet. Okay, listen. There's three lies that come against us why we resist our identity. You want to hear them? Lie number one, I haven't earned it. It's like God will say, girl, you're going to go do this. Boy, I have called you. You're going to be a voice. And we're like, that's fantastic. After I do two ministry schools, after my YouTube channel is successful, after I get a super hot girlfriend and she tells me who I am, right? Or maybe it's your behavior or your sin in your life or your past. And you're like, God, I did this, 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 and this, so I can never be that. You like to use my brother, my sister, because their lives look a lot better than mine. And God is convinced, and he has no problem convincing you. He'll use your whole life. He'll convince you to the day you die. What he said about you is true, and you don't need to earn it. It's in your bones. DNA is in you. No one can take it. It's there, right? Number two, I don't see it. Somebody would have already told me. Anybody ever say, like, dang, dude, you're just an incredible fill in the blank. And you're like, no one's ever said that before. You're just a liar, right? Or I don't really see that gift on my life. The amount of people that have said that to me, I'm like, boy, I just feel like God is raising you up. You have something to say to a generation. I just don't see that on my life. All right. Anybody ever felt that before? Last one. You believe it for everyone else, but not yourself. You're Mr. Hype Girl, Mr. Hype Guy. You're like, Jesus loves you. You're amazing. You're called. You're going to change the world. And then you go to bed at night and you're like, not me though, Father. I will never. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're giving someone the ultimate pump-up speech. We've all been there. Like, girl, don't hate on yourself. You're not ugly. You're special. And then you go home and you're like, I am ugly. You guys get what I'm saying? So we're going to take a second. Would you guys stand up? We're going to go into some wild activation. All right, we're going to pray real quick before we get wild. Is that good? Yeah. All right, will you guys, you want to repeat after me? Now, as we've been talking about freedom, we've been talking a lot about strongholds. And some, Derek, will you come up here? This is going to be. You can put that down. Okay, there's my husband. Listen, we've been talking about strongholds. And some of us treat the enemy like kind of a friend. Like, get out of my life, dude. I rebuke you now in Jesus' name. Or it's even unspoken, even worse. It's just in your heart. Jesus is like, good thing I'm smart. I totally got that. But listen, some of us need to treat the enemy like he actually wants to kill, steal, and destroy from you. He's not a friend. There is no comfort in his lies, right? And so a stronghold means simply this. I can't put this down. It's a stronghold. If I'm bowling Derek, which is incredible with his muscles, I'm bowling him. I'm pushing, stay in character. I'm pushing Derek around. You suck. You'll never be anything. You're never going to speak. Nothing matters that you do.
True.
And I'm pushing him around. How should Derek treat me if I'm a boy? Push me back. Okay. He should be pushed back. Like, enemy, get off me. Enough of this. Some of you. Some of you, we're going to get so practical. Some of you in the middle of your anxiety workup need to stand up and need to go, in the name of Jesus, get off me. Some of you, everyone's getting excited. Some of you, you get these intrusive thoughts and you are just a victim to them. And you got to go, that is not my voice. In the name of Jesus, I silence you. Get out. Right? Some of you, you're like the bad dream master. You're like, I've had bad dreams every night for 100 nights. And I'm like, girl, did you stand up on one of those nights and rebuke the enemy? Like, just wave your door back and forth or something? Like, so... And Circuit Riders, when we pray and we raise our voices, it's not because, you know, louder prayers do more. It builds this violence in us against the enemy, right? So we're going to pray. Ready? All right. Repeat after me. Jesus.
Jesus.
I rebuke the lie.
That I haven't earned my calling.
Your love.
My identity.
I repent for saying someone would have already told me.
Someone would have confirmed that word.
It's a lie. And I kick it out. Number three, are we ready?
I repent
for being the master hype man.
Telling everybody who they are,
but not believing it for myself.
Jesus,
I rebuke the enemy.
Tonight, I'm crossing the line.
And I'm accepting my calling.
Amen.
Woohoo.
Now, did you guys get this really beautifully printed worksheet? Sorry, Ian, I forgot to do this. Did you guys get this? McGarren, can you come up here? You guys can take a seat. Will Mack? Where's Will Mack? William. Get up here, boy.
So this worksheet, if you don't have a worksheet, raise your hand. We're going to bring it around to you. This worksheet my dad created, it's in the Freedom Manual, which is for sale in the lobby. And this is called the Christian Birthright Card. Some of you are listening to me and you're like, I believe everything you're saying, Chloe, but I have no idea what my identity is. Dude, when I was in DTS, my DTS leader said, girl, you need to know your identity. Go to the prayer room and write it out in your journal and listen to God. Guys, I went in that prayer room and I pulled out my Justin Bieber journal. And I opened that thing. And I think I wrote, I am a daughter of God, I'm a princess, and nothing else. And I literally sat there for like 3 hours. So some of you are in agreement with me, but you need to know who you are. And two ways we can find that out, through the word, number one. It is full of promises over your identity. It's crazy. Number two is through encouragement in the body of Christ through the gift of prophecy. And sometimes, how many of you have ever got a prophetic word before? Yeah, it's encouraging, hopefully, right? Tonight, literally, we are going to pray as staff for every single one of you. And we are going to get words about who God says you are. It's going to be wild. But first, I want you guys to take this Christian Birthright card. And let's just read a few. You guys are doing great. Thanks for coming. Okay. I want you guys to start. Do you guys where it says, I am the light of the world? Let's read this out together. I am the light of the world, and the darkness cannot suppress it. Next one. I am living in Christ's authority, which gives me power over all the power of the enemy. Next one. I am part of the true vine and a channel of Christ's life and energy. Last one. I am not condemned, but declared fully forgiven and righteous in Christ. I want you to take this thing home. Post-it note it everywhere. Like, my post-it notes are by the toilet. It's a great spot. I want, you guys are going to do this in a second. We're going to turn to our neighbor, and we're going to pick one of these verses. And I want you to preach for 30 seconds to a minute to that person, this verse, and who they are because of this verse. McGarren, this is my cousin, Will.
Woo!
He's an icon. McGarren, will you preach to Will?
Sure will. Alrighty.
I didn't prepare for this.
Yeah, Will didn't know this was happening. Are you ready? All right, you see the one that says, I am a warrior against Satan and fully outfitted to stand triumphant in Christ? That's you. Read it with me. Come on. I am a warrior against Satan and fully outfitted to stand triumphant in Christ. In that verse, let's go. Come on. Now listen to me. So what does that mean for your life? That means in Ephesians, it says that you have been given the full armor of God to stand against Satan. You weren't given a towel and a water to be a water boy in the kingdom of God. You were made to be on the front lines, fighting against the enemy, taking ground and on the offensive. You know what I mean? And here's a bonus for you. I looked up the word wrestle in the original language, and it says a contest where the winner will have the other by the throat on the ground. That's what you're meant to do to the devil, Will. You're meant to put the devil on the ground and grab him by the throat and throw him out.
Great job. Great job.
That's right. Great job. Will actually is the next Billy Graham, aside McGarren. Okay, listen. All right, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to pick your verse. Ready, set, go. Okay, stand up. I want people paired in just groups of two. It's all right. This can be co-ed. Grab someone. Some of you are groups of three. Let's be friendly. We got a guy up here. Raise your hand if you don't have a partner. If you don't have a partner. Mr. Tattoos, right there. Anybody else? Everybody have a partner? Okay. Are we ready? All right, you're 1 minute. Wait. Sorry. Shh. Silence. Raise your hand if you're going to go first. Raise it real high. Okay, now the person not raising your hand, you're going to go first. Here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Okay, time. 3, 2, 1. Okay, switch. 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 10 seconds. Okay, time. Great job, guys. Woohoo. Give your guys self a round of applause. Repeat after me. Bible verses are not cheesy. They're life-changing. And I need them so badly. All right, Nick and Josh, will you guys come up here? So what we're going to do now, you guys can take a seat for a second. We're almost done. You guys have been amazing. Are we fine on time? Josh is the lead vocalist in the band Riders.
Okay, so this is Spencer here? This is a family moment right now. I'm the oldest, second oldest, youngest, and Spencer's the third robot. There he is back there. Hi, Spencer. This is a powerful sibling moment. We've never done this before.
We're adult friends. Adult friends. Okay, so what we're going to do, if you've never been around, the prophetic, don't let that scare you. Sometimes when we think prophetic, we think the crazy lady waving that beautiful flag with the Israel lion on it comes up to you and tells you your husband's name and the day he was born. That's not what we're doing tonight. Shut it down. We're simply going to ask Jesus who he's created you to be. And we're going to demonstrate it here. Do you want to pick someone out of the crowd we don't know?
Does someone want to volunteer to, because it's on the live stream and it's your personal life? Wait, Holly? I trust, all right, Holly, pick the person, bring him up. Holly, I do whatever Holly tells me. Come on up here. Let's give it up for our friend. What's up? Okay, what's your name?
Christina.
Christina, where are you from?
L.A.,
L.A., God City, all right. Lakers, amen. Lord, we pray. All right. So we're going to pray for you. And in simplicity, right, is the Bible says we hear in part and we see in part. So we're not saying, like, we're claiming, like, this is, you know, crazy divine, like, Lord of the Rings Oracle moment, right? I'm not Gandalf, but, and it's not real, just so we all know. And so, but what we're going to do for a moment is we're just going to ask the Lord, what are some ways that he sees you and he's made you? What are some aspects of your original design? And then we're going to talk about it in front of the entire room. Okay, so, thank you for being a bold, courageous lady here. All right, so let's all close our eyes. We're going to pray together. This is how we pray at our house, how we pray at Circle Riders, and we're just going to hear what the Lord says. Lord, we just thank you so much for your daughter, Lord, and we just thank you for her courage, her boldness, and Lord, we know that you have a special design for her, Lord, and we just pray that you just speak to us, Lord, and just show us, Lord, a few ways in which you have made her to operate, a few ways that you've designed her to walk out her original design in Jesus' name. No, we're just getting started. You're good. Yeah, you're in the hot seat for a minute. Okay, so the first picture I saw with you was you had this picture. You were like a sword. Oh, nice. Let there be light. And you had this sword, and you were like charging forward to like take the land or do whatever you're going to do, kind of hard charge, you know, crush it. But you stopped all of a sudden, and you turned around, and you saw someone lonely, and you brought them with you. And the first thing I saw about you that how the Lord's made you is not just good enough for you to, like, win, is you want everybody to win with you, is that you kind of carry a heart of compassion, empathy, that you hate people feeling left out. You're an includer. Does that make sense? Does that resonate with you?
Yes, it does.
Okay, amazing.
That's awesome. I saw a picture of you, and you were like an architect. And I saw, like, the designs. This is not literal, don't worry. Maybe you are an architect. But I saw these designs you were making were, like, groundbreaking. And I heard the Lord say you were innovative and you're creative. And I saw that the Lord's created you with this love for detail and beauty. And it's a part of what you shine, but it's also a part of the atmosphere you create. And I think to even what Nick is saying, it's that detail to see people and include them. And you just don't miss anything. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Does that resonate?
Yes.
Wow, okay. So, Josh, you see something?
Sure. Oh, yeah, I did. So I saw this picture, and you were in this big crowd, like walking with this crowd, and there was this big bush, and it was just on fire. It was kind of like Moses-type beat. And like it was like just like the presence of God radiating, like super evidently. And everybody was just like booking it, kind of scared, like, what's going on over there? And you just were like so drawn to the presence, and you literally just like instantly, like once you saw it, you just like went to it and literally fell to your knees. And you're at such a place of hunger, but like such a radical obedience to like, of like this crazy trembling fear of God was in you in that moment. But you're like, I don't care. I just want to be before you, and I want to hunger after you, and I want to know you.
Yeah. Wow. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so, right, so we just met. We just met, right? Yeah, we just met, right? Do we know you?
No.
Okay, that's awesome. So, right, God knows you, though, and so this is not just like cool, oh, that would be cool one day. These are things that God's saying, no, this is who you are right now, right? You are that courageous warrior leading forward, that courageous leader, right? You are. But you're also filled with compassion. It's not about you. It's about, yeah, it's about winning for everyone. It's about including everyone. Chloe sees this beautiful picture. You're like an architect. You have all this strategy, and you know how to lay things out and what the next step is and how to organize everything and include everybody, and there's nothing that goes beyond. There's creativity with that. And then Emily, that's my wife, Josh, my brother. I didn't drink boba today. All right, so, right? And then he sees this picture that part of the way God's made you is he's made you for himself. That he's made you to, like, love being with him. And maybe other people are afraid to be seen by God and be fully known by God. But you're like one of those ladies. Like, I want to know God. Right? You're like one of those people, like, when things are trouble, they know who to call. They're calling you. I bet that literally happens in your life. I can't imagine how many phone calls and how many of your friends already call you because this is actually who you are right now. Because you're standing on the rock and you know who you are in Jesus. Does that make sense?
Should we just pray? So we're going to go one step further, which I know you're down. We're going to declare these things back to Jesus and agree with who he says you are together. Is that cool? Yeah. 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 You're paving the way for all of them to have breakthrough. Let's go, girl. Yeah. You're doing work. Okay, so we're going to declare these things. You want to repeat after me?
Yeah.
All right, safe place. We're sharing the mic. Ready? Jesus.
Jesus.
I declare. That I am a woman of intention.
That I am a woman of intention.
That I see people and I include them.
That I see people and I include them.
I have a mighty sword in my hand.
I have a mighty sword in my hand.
Period. You've created me with this love for detail.
You created me with this love for detail.
And it's beautiful.
And it's beautiful.
I declare.
I declare.
That I'm a woman of your presence.
That I am a woman of your presence.
That's it.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
So stay right here really quick. Can we all extend our hands to our friend? For 30 seconds, we're all gonna pray that God's love and that that his identity would wash over her and that she would not forget this moment, but it would deeply seed in her heart. Can we all pray this for 30 seconds? First of all, can we just say, I agree.
I agree.
We see that in you.
We see that in you.
So here we go, 30 seconds on prayer and blessing. All of us praying together. Ready? 1, 2, 3, let's all pray.
Lord, we just pray right now.
Come on, can we give it up for one more time? Thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much.
So we're going to do this with all of you now. Are you ready? We have some sort of strategy lined out, right?
So we're going to do one at a time. And no, I'm just kidding. So, all right, we're going to be here for about 24 hours. Okay, so... here's what we want to do. We've never done this before, but we wanted to help give an opportunity for every single person to receive original design prayer. Like, we would pray this for you if you do Circuit Rider Experience or you come to one of our schools in the summer. We just wanted you to receive some personal prophetic ministry. And sometimes here, like, to be honest, right, in the front, it's kind of, that's our staff. They're going and getting ready, right? Sometimes it's like the band is going crazy. We're like, come forward. And we're trying to pray for you. We're like, and God says over you. And like your ear is getting blown out. So here's what we're going to do. Circuit Rider staff, you can go stand up really quick and go to where I told you to go outside really quick. So all our prayer teams, you can rumble out there. If you're not in a prayer team, just stay right where you are. Stay right where you are. Super, super thankful. Number one, while they're doing that, can we give it up for Chloe tonight? Thank you so much, Chloe.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.